Hey, guessing game today. Guess which English-speaking church group in the world, which group has created a comprehensive and compassionate set of resources to reach out to the church abused? That's number one. Number two, guess which American church denomination conducted a survey of the church abused? Hi, friends. Welcome to the Church Abused Coach podcast with me, Laurie Sullivan, an author, teacher, wife, mother, Nana, ex-minister's wife, survivor, Jesus-loving daughter of a fantastic, faithful, and ferocious God. If you, like me, have been abused by a minister or church and want to be heard, to heal, to live in hope, I am so glad you're here. In this podcast, we will break the silence on this issue, actively pursue healing, and determine, choose, pick, declare to live victorious anyway. Are you ready for that? Come on, grab that coffee, pour that tea, sip your straw, and let's begin. Did anybody guess the Church of England? The Anglican Church, as the English-speaking church group in the world that has created this comprehensive and compassionate set of resources to reach out to the church abused. That's who did it. Want to talk about them today? And the American church denomination that conducted a survey of the church abused, the Baptist of Baylor University in Texas. So let's go into what is happening that is helpful and good. I was amazed to find these resources, and I want to tell you about it. Now, the great news about what the Anglican Church has provided is that it exists and it is fantastic. The bad news about it is that it serves only its local diocese. So for all of us who have been abused by the church outside of the United Kingdom, outside of the Newcastle Diocese, what can it do for us? Well, here's the hope that I see. We can take this website and all its clickable parts and go to our places, our zones, our denominations, our organizations in our countries and say, we need this. So hats off to the Church of England. And let me read, I'm going to be reading to you from a letter posted on the website from June 23rd of 2022. And then, well, I think, is it just, it might be. Anyway, I'll let you know if it's something more. Okay, so here is the announcement that they put on the website. A new initiative focused on survivors of church-based abuse and those who support them has been launched today. The initiative spearheaded by Newcastle Diocese is a response to recent guidance issued by the Church of England to church officers and church bodies on, here it is, how to respond well to victims and survivors of all kinds of abuse. It has been part funded by the charity Safe Spaces, a free and independent support service, providing a confidential, personal and safe space for anyone who has been abused by someone in the church. Isn't that amazing? The project was the brainchild of Sarah Troughton and David Kreese, both survivors of faith-based abuse, who worked closely with the Diocese of Newcastle's safeguarding advisor, Carol Butler, to develop the content. Now, here's some quotes. The Bishop of Berwick and Acting Bishop of Newcastle, the Right Reverend Mark Rowe, said, quote, I am deeply moved and challenged by this extraordinary piece of work, which has been led, this is so important, by those with lived experience of church-based abuse. Far too long, there have been those who have suffered abuse in the church, and here we go, folks, and not felt safe enough to report it, as well as those who have reported it and have not been cared for in the way they deserve. This project works alongside other safeguarding procedures we now have in place as we continue to learn. I love that language. As we continue to learn how to make our churches safer places. The materials and resources are aimed at these four bullet points. 1, those with lived experience of abuse in a church context, those who have spoken out, and those who have not yet found a voice. Bullet 2, the families and friends of those who have experienced church-based abuse and are living with the consequences. Bullet 3, clergy and lay members of the church bodies who need to see, hear, and respond well to those who have experienced trauma and abuse in the church. Bullet 4, colleagues in non-church professions who work with survivors of church-based abuse, mental health services, etc., and need to understand the particular impacts of this abuse and how to respond well. Doesn't this bring you hope? This language is beautiful. All right, Sarah Troughton, a psychiatrist at Cumbria, Northumberland, Tyne and Wear NHS Foundation Trust, said, come on, Sarah, it is essential that the voice of the survivor of church-related abuse is no longer silenced, amen, but instead valued, so that not only healing, but post-traumatic growth can occur for the individual, and here's a thought, in the wider church itself. This ethos is central to the project. David Creasy added, quote, by embracing this project, the church is demonstrating its commitment. Oh, let's say it again. The church is demonstrating its commitment to all those impacted by such abuse and is therefore moving forward, making the church a more safe and responsive environment. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Church of England. Do look that up. Give that a search in your search bar and find out about that initiative. I think a big part of it is called, If I Told You, What Would You Do? Oh, it's just beautiful. Click on everything to be encouraged. And then take that as an example to all the people in your sphere of influence and say, we need this. Incredible. Okay, now let's go to what Baylor University has completed. Apparently in 2015, but you know, yours truly is just finding out about this. There's just no national broadcast way to get the message out, I guess. So in 2015, which of course is so dated now, but at least we can get an idea of what the problem was and that somebody was looking into the issue. So much more work needs to be done. But let me give you some statistics from the findings from this 2015 first national survey of adult survivors of clergy-perpetrated sexual abuse. All right? So this is the first time they've done that, and it is adult survivors only, and it's clergy-perpetrated sexual abuse. So it's, you know, there's your boundaries there. 280 survivors participated. So that's our end, 280. The study says, we're so grateful to the courageous survivors who agreed to participate. And the project was directed by David Pooler, PhD, LCSW. And here is a summary of the findings. So the respondents had to be women who were 16 or older at the time of abuse. So in the case of my ex-husband, there would be a clump of girls that would be left out of this survey because they were younger than 16. So obviously more work needs to be done, but that's what we're looking at in this particular survey. So women, but only women, who were 16 or older at the time that they were abused and at least 18 at the time of the survey. The survivors, here's what we know about them. 42 states participated. Now, I'm not sure how the information got out, but I'm just giving you some the highlights of the findings. So we have 42 out of the 50 states, survivors voluntarily participating. The survivors' length of abuse, the average length that they were abused was 4 years. So you know, to make an average, you have to have it higher and lower. The average age was 30 years old when it started. So that would cut out all of my ex-husband's situation. And 65% of the survivors are married. So I'm not sure if that means they were married when it happened or they're currently married. Okay, let's get some data about the perpetrator. So this would be a clergyman. The average age of the clergyman was 45. So again, we know to get an average, you're going to have someone who's much older than 45 and younger. 4% were prosecuted. Let's just let that sink in. And 88% of the perpetrators were married. Wow. Then there's some findings about the experiences in the congregation. Isn't this interesting? 62% of the people surveyed said that they were being counseled by the church leader when it started. So it started in counseling. And 8% said that they really felt like the church supported them after the abuse. 8%, folks. Wow. About the survivor. So there are five things that I want to point out here. Here is the picture of the survivor. 65% of them, 65%, are currently part of a congregation. So we lost some people there. 65% claim that they have unprocessed, unresolved trauma. They had some of that prior to the abuse, right? So that means that the perpetrator is deliberately preying on a vulnerable woman, a woman who has some unprocessed or unresolved trauma prior to the clergyman, the pastor, the minister preying upon them, which in my mind makes it double sick. All right, there are three more pieces of information about the survivor here. 78% say they are healing or getting better. 78%. And we can say, Lori, that's a high number. Yes, it is. Not high enough to be 100, and that's what it needs to be. Everybody deserves to be healing or to be getting better. So we have such room to grow. 35% say they have recovered from the abuse. 35% by self-admission. And here we go. How many do you think got an apology? How many of these survivors got an apology from the clergymen who did abuse them? Did you guess the number? Because here it comes. 8. 8 said they got an apology. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that it was 8. Okay, here's some more findings from this survey. 50% say that the experience with the church after the abuse negatively affected their relationship with God. 50% of them because of how we responded as a church body. That is not good enough. Not good enough. 80% said their experience with the church after the abuse negatively affected their spiritual life, and 65% said that their faith in God helped them get through the abuse. And that would be me. That would be me. I'm one of the 65. I didn't participate, but I can say that's me. That's me. It was my faith in God that kept me through what happened to me. All right, one more set of statistics here from that 2015 survey in regard to church policy, reporting, and process. So this is interesting. This is about the church itself and their response to the situation. So 7% of these survivors said that their church had a policy in place, already in place to support them, only 7%. So, hello, church, that is something absolutely without a doubt. You don't even need anything fancy to make sure that your church has a policy in place that is going to care for people when, not if, when this happens to them. Because 7% is pitiful. 33% said, when they reported the abuse to their church, they were believed. Now, if you are a victim of abuse within the church, I think this is the one. This is our button. If I tell, who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe it? This is such a crazy thing to say. This is such a crazy thing to say. And if you remember at all my story, I was a minister's wife. So who does the minister's wife tell? And people are going to be like, oh yeah, you know, totally. I can see what's going on here. 33%. We need to do better. We need to do better. We need to believe these people when they find their courage to speak up and say, I need help. This needs to stop. 9% said the church was helpful. Only 9% said the church was helpful. Boy, that's a sad statistic. 15% said that the church thoroughly investigated, only 15%. And 11% said their church openly communicated with them during. So that is the work, that's a report that comes from Baylor University of a survey of volunteers in 2015 of people who volunteered their information to say, hey, this happened to me and I need help. So from all of those statistics, you can look that up on on the web too. It's at socialwork.web.baylor.edu/research, and it's a 2015 survey of how things are going. If we had what the Anglican Church has provided in the Newcastle Diocese, if all of our churches had something like what they have done, apparently just uploaded in 2022, but if we had that, we would be making great strides. We would be making great strides to break the silence, to find the healing, so that those abused by the church can live victorious anyway. Tell somebody about that. Tell somebody.
Hey friend, if you found hope in today's episode, would you let the world know? Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. I would really love that. Hey, say hello on my Facebook page, Victorious Anyway, as together we break this silence, find the healing, and live victorious anyway. See you next week.